Hi, this is Alan Chartok in the Congressional Corner with one of my favorite people, Congressman Peter Welch. He's the only congressman from all of Vermont. Think about that. That's amazing. So, Peter Welch, we talked about Bernie Sanders the last time we spoke. I know you've been a supporter. Now, let me ask you this. If Bernie steps aside, will you be running for Senate?
Bernie's not stepping aside. He's got several years on his term, so I just don't see that happening. And as we've discussed before, Patrick Bernie and I are a pretty good team. We've been working together for years. In fact, I worked with Bernie when he was mayor and I was in the state Senate. So it's not anything I think about, and I love the job I have. So I'll keep at it, and I'm really happy having his colleagues, Bernie and Patrick, in the U.S. Senate.
And speaking of the Senate, I want to talk about the Senate. Seems to me that the whole game now in terms of dealing with Donald Trump is to take the Senate for the Democrats. What is your astute political assessment of the possibilities?
A good chance. I mean, it would be very difficult because in some of those states where we have to win, Trump won pretty big. And in some of those states, Trump continues to be popular. But I think more and more people are dismayed that the function of the Senate has been reduced essentially to being a conveyor belt on judicial appointments to a conservative judiciary. But they're not doing anything over there on gun legislation, for instance. They're not doing anything on Iran or Saudi Arabia. They're not doing anything whatsoever on climate change. And at a certain point, I think people are just going to be fed up with a McConnell approach where he simply abdicates any responsibility for passing legislation that's going to help the American people. So that's an argument that I think our candidates are going to be making. Let the Senate vote, you know, take votes on, let's say, background checks, and then voters in all the states can hold their senator accountable, yes or no, on how they voted. But that what McConnell's doing is basically killing the Senate as an institution of public policy.
So let's talk a little bit about federalism, American federalism. You know, Republicans used to be all for it, the idea of splitting power between the states and the federal government. And now we see this remarkable thing happening in California, which used to have more pollution than anybody could ever imagine. They came up with a deal about what the various people would have to do in order to make a car in California. And now the president's coming along and saying, no, we don't want that. We want it to be much easier. They can do whatever they want. And we're going to take all those powers away from California. What do you make of that?
Well, what I make of it is that it is a manifestation of Trump's all-out war on climate change. He's a denier. And not only does he deny it himself and use the federal government to thwart efforts to address climate change, he's now aggressively trying to undercut the ability of other states like California to do what they can. So it is on two levels, I think, very destructive. One, real disrespect for federalism, and number two, an aggressive hostility to making progress on climate change. You know, the president on some of these things is doing things that industry opposes. Industry wants the mileage standards, and they were working it out with California, and that was going to be beneficial to people all across the country. Industry, the oil industry, wants the methane provision to reduce the methane that's going into the atmosphere from our gas wells. But Trump is getting rid of that regulation. So there'll be more methane, which, as you know, is an incredible emitter of carbon dioxide. So there's a gratuitous aspect to what Trump is doing, not only with the federal government, but then aggressively and actively undercutting efforts of responsible actors who are attempting to do something beneficial on climate change. It's outrageous.
Peter Welch, over in the land of Israel, they've just had an election. Everybody's standing around holding their breath, trying to figure out what exactly is going on. Trump is a big supporter of Netanyahu. And my question is, what will that mean if his opponent, Mr. Gantz, wins? Will Trump put Israel at risk because he didn't get his way?
Well, Trump and Netanyahu are hand in glove, and Netanyahu's been bragging about what a great relationship he has with Trump. But the Israeli electorate obviously has the last say. And this election is still not decided. Who's going to be able to form a government? Is it going to be Netanyahu or is it going to be Benny Gantz? We don't know. What I do know is that the direction Netanyahu has been going with the aid and assistance of Donald Trump is very threatening to something that is essential, in my view, to Israel, and that is an ongoing commitment to the goal of a two-state solution. And just before the election, in an effort to try to get some support from the most conservative, I think, religious parties in Israel, Mr. Netanyahu said he wanted to annex 30% of the West Bank. Well, you start these annexations on top of all these settlements, then the possibility of a two-state solution vanishes. And that, I think, is what may well be what's really at stake in this election.
Do you hear from your constituents on this particular election, this Israeli election?
Well, we've got a significant Jewish community that is very dedicated to the well-being of Israel as a democratic Jewish state. And there's a lot of support among the Jewish community for a two-state solution. So I think that what Netanyahu done is causing alarm. And there's, of course, a good deal of concern, particularly among younger people, about the dignity of Palestinians and the circumstances under which Palestinians are living in the West Bank, so divided with settlements, with all the security restrictions on their ability to have a functioning economy. And, of course, that's true in Gaza as well. So I see a lot of Vermonters, you know, really committed to justice and security in the Middle East, and they, by and large, believe that that can best be accomplished through a two-state solution.
Well, I got a couple more minutes. I want to ask you about gun control. I know it's a lot to take on in a couple of minutes, but you've referred to it before. The House is for it. The Senate won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. What's going to happen?
It's going to be up to Mitch McConnell, but I think two things. One, where we do have a working majority in the House, we were able to pass comprehensive background check legislation. That's right. In the Senate now. And what I think is so significant about what the House did is it was bipartisan. We got a number of Republicans who know that the people in there that they represent are concerned about this. And background checks are not taking people's guns away, but it's requiring that if you're going to get a gun, you go through a background check, and we have some confidence that you're suitable to have a weapon. So that's now in the Senate. Donald Trump's been all over the place on this. After the last tragedy, the last two tragedies, he immediately was saying background checks may be okay. Then he talks to Wayne LaPierre at the NRA, and suddenly they aren't. And McConnell won't do anything unless he gets the okay from President Trump. By the way, I think that's really, really, really weak, because the Senate is an independent institution, and Senator McConnell should not be seeking permission from the president to do something. They ought to be taking votes on this because the American people want it. But I think you're also going to see the House pass more legislation. We're going to take up, my hope is, the red flag bill. We're going to take up the high-capacity clip issue. We're going to take up the question of weapons of war, assault rifles, and try to get those over to the Senate. It's unlikely McConnell will act on those, but it's going to be a building block in a foundation for future action.
Peter Welch, we are so appreciative of your spending all this time with us. I know how busy you are, and congratulations on everything that you're doing and have gotten done.
Pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
And when we come back the next time, I'm going to ask you about whether or not the Democrats can hold the House.